Christ. For this morning, Exodus chapter 20, if you have your Bible or device along. Legos. Remember when they first came out? They were just simple little plastic blocks, and your imagination was your map. Whatever you could think to build with those little blocks, you could put the colors together and so on. But as time went on, they began to add to the offerings that they had. In fact, it's gotten to the point where some of the pieces are very specialized. And if you don't have that particular piece for that particular function, you're not going to get it to work. And along with all of the pieces as they have come along are the instructions. The instructions are as vital as the pieces themselves. I've watched my grandson sit for hours at a time turning page after page of those manuals and putting this little piece in and then that little piece. And if you lose one of those little pieces, you're not going to replace it. You can have baskets full of Legos, which many of our households do. You'll not find another part like that particular one. It's very unique. And if you lose the instruction booklet, good luck on coming up with how in the world that thing is supposed to come together. I would say it would be darn near impossible to put it together without the manual coming. You can even have a picture of the finished product, but still not going to get you there. And in time, it has become more and more intricate. You can make some fascinating things if you have the right materials and if you have the instructions and follow them one step at a time, you can come together with a very glorious product. And also, if you have enough money to purchase some of those sets. Each one of our lives is unique. We have a different blend of gifts and abilities than anybody else on the planet. We have a particular call from God on our life. We have also come with an instruction manual. It's called the Word of God, the Bible. And if you're willing to follow the instructions, what you were created to be can come about. But lose the instructions or lose your will to follow them, you can get pretty lost. You can get pretty messed up in it all. Today's faith fact is, I love God and others. Well, where did that come from? It came from the instruction manual, the Word of God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, and love others as yourself. You'll sum up all the commands in those two simple ones. Exodus chapter 20, we have a more expanded version of the commands. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female servant, or his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. How many of you have a neighbor with an ox or a donkey? Well, good, we got that one covered. Nobody's coveting their neighbor's ox or donkey. Father, the rest of the commandments we sometimes do struggle with. And we ask you for a clarity. And actually, we ask you for a cleansing today. I have found I am able to justify just about anything in my own mind and heart. But that doesn't make it right with you. So, Lord, would you get your cleaner out today and help us to expunge from our lives all this accumulated dirt and filth from living in the world like we do. Every once in a while, my wife will say, you have to clean out that. Yeah, you have to change the furnace filter. And in my mind, I'm always, I just changed that thing. What could I? And I go, oh my, should have cleaned it by now. I changed it by now. I think that our hearts and minds work somewhat the same way. We often think we're cleaner than we are, that we're in better stead than we are. Lord, let your examining light search over us today and help us. And then bring the tools and the aids necessary to make us white, make us clean, make us pure inside. And we'll thank you for that help today in Jesus' name. Amen. The Ten Commandments, they're actually a gift from God if you think about it. What would people be like if they could make up their own rules? If there was no mooring, if there was no pattern for us to follow, just do whatever you feel like doing. We know that we're all born holy and good. You can tell by the way brothers and sisters treat each other and how nice and kind they are and how polite they are to you as a parent, right? Well, maybe not so much. People need guidelines. They need to be told, they need to be taught, they need to come to believe what's right and what's wrong. Because as I said in my opening prayer, we have the ability to justify anything in our own heart and mind. It might be wrong for everybody else, but for us in our particular situation, we can bend any command to suit our use in any given moment. But God gave us a gift. You know, John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We find out later in that chapter he's referring to Jesus. Jesus is the Word, and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ during this season. Well, we can celebrate the Ten Commandments in similar fashion. He is the Word being expressed to us. It was the Word showing us our need for the Savior who would come later in history. The Ten Commandments. Well, that sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? Commandments. And especially as Americans, being as independently minded as we are, we kind of push against when we're being told something definitively. We like to say, oh yeah, who said so? So I thought, maybe we could rename our Ten Commandments and make them more palatable to our generation. How about the Ten Suggestions for a Happy and Peaceful Existence? What about Directions for a Healthy Society? Maybe God's Guidelines for Life. But as I thought all those things over, they kind of fall short of what they actually are. What are they? They're commands. They're commandments. God said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. If we follow them, if we obey, we will live under his favor. If we disobey them, we're going to suffer the consequences accordingly. In the first verse, it tells us who the author of these things are. And God spoke all these. This came right from the mouth of God. This is what God has for his people. And then in verse 2, he flashes some of his credentials, especially with the Jewish folk. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of slavery. These commands were a gift to his people. You're special to me. I love you. And I want you to have understanding, and I want you to know how to navigate life. These commands are special to us. Although everybody in the world will be judged according to them at some point in some day, they are a gift to us who have come to Christ. When you are in Christ, you want to know, what pleases you, God? How then should I live? You've done so much for me. What can I do in response to you? The first part of that sentence is all we need to know about his authority. I am the Lord your God. He created us. He sustains us. He has redeemed us. And he will inherit us. In other words, God made us and will judge us in the end. Therefore, his is the only opinion that really matters. I'm going to stand before him. I'm not going to stand before Oprah Winfrey. I'm not going to stand before Dr. Oz or anybody else that's trying to social engineer in these days. I'm going to stand before the Lord. And this shows the direction I need to go. He'll bless me as long as I obey his commands. And I live under the Bible actually talks a lot about his wrath and anger. Of course, today our line to everybody is, oh, God loves you no matter what you do. But the Bible still talks about anger and wrath and inciting him to that anger when we live outside of his will, when we disobey his values and his commands. We need to value these commands, and we increase our eternal reward. Now, I don't want to give you the misconception that obeying the Ten Commandments is going to save your soul. There is not a law that you can live according to and go to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. That's to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and therefore we can receive salvation in his name. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. We put our faith in Christ, and that's our salvation. And it's a good thing we're not judged according to the Ten Commandments as far as salvation is concerned, because when you add to them the weight that Jesus put on them, when he said, you've heard it said, do not murder. Well, I'm telling you, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder. Hey, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. My heart, we're not only going to be judged according to what we have done and said, but even the things that we think about. Friends, we're toast. There's no hope for any of us except for the blood of Jesus Christ. But because his blood has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, because he has saved us, we now have the ability to walk straighter than we did before. And the Lord says, this is the right way to go. This is the good way to go. There's a lot of noise coming from the world, especially today, about going whatever way you want to go, and it's going to be fine. But that's not the truth. There is a way. There is a structure. There is a guide for our lives. If you ignore it, you'll do so to your own peril. But if you walk in that way, God will see to it that good things come to your life. This is a father sharing with his children. This is good stuff. You teach your kids what will help them in life. You help them to avoid a lot of pain and suffering. You try to pass on whatever wisdom you've accumulated in your lifetime. You do that lovingly because you care. And this is the Father sharing the Ten Commandments with us. Don't bristle against them. Don't think in negative terms. Say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate the wisdom that you're sharing with me here. The first command is, you shall have no other gods before or beside me. You only need one God. There is only one God. Don't make a God out of anything else. You don't need any others. In fact, it's a crime. There's one God, you stick to him. I'm sure your wife would not appreciate if you brought a girlfriend home. I'm sure that your husband would not appreciate if you brought a boyfriend home. In fact, far beyond bringing, if you even had one, they won't appreciate that. You get one. One God, and he is a jealous God. I appreciate that he shared that with us, that he's a jealous God. Most of us, when we're jealous, we won't admit it, will we? Oh, you're just being jealous. No, I'm not. It's because it. Well, if God can be jealous, maybe it's not always wrong to be jealous. Now, there is a jealousy that is a sin. You can take it too far. It can be misplaced. But it's only right for a husband to be jealous over the affections of his wife and vice versa. This is a good thing. And you and I, we serve a jealous God. And when you turn to other gods, you may have coworkers that wear crystals and they talk about this and that and they pray, but not to our God. They may use the name of Jesus, but it's a different Jesus than the one that died on the cross for us. It's a little bit like trying to use your kid's toy mower to mow the lawn. Or worse than that, trying to use a tablecloth as a parachute. Just because Bugs Bunny can do it doesn't mean that you can. You want a real parachute if you're going to have to jump out of an airplane. You want the real Jesus if you're going to face the judgment of God someday. You got to make sure that you got the right thing here. And people are coming up with all kind of weird commands today. Oh, be true to yourself. If it feels good, do it. No. We come up with our own lists. You can't twist the truth and come out with the truth. It becomes an error. Command number two, don't make any idols. Don't make any idols. And one of the tricky parts here is things can become an idol in your life. They can cut in on the love and affection that are reserved only for the Lord. And God often gives us good things to enjoy. But then there are also some times when God will take it away just to see how we respond. Oh, that hasn't become a God in my life. Well, let's just take it away for a little while. Now, how are you treating everybody else? How are you treating the Lord himself? How do your kids respond when you have to take something away, when you have to say no? But everybody else. One of the first things you do with your puppy when you bring him home, you mess with his food. You give him his food, you take it away. You give him a little bit, you pull it back. You give him something to chew on, you take it away. Why? Because if you let him go to be a full-grown dog and nobody's ever messed with his food, he don't want you messing with his food. You might just get bit when you go to pick up the bowl. They need to be taught. They need to be trained. No, you don't growl at master. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. This is, you know, you ever see those pictures of the dog? They lay the treat right on their nose. They say, well, wait until. With my dog, I'd never get it onto his nose. It would be gone. But my dog's not that well trained. But we messed with his food enough to say, you know, you're not going to bite the hand that feeds you. When we mess with other gods, when we allow other things in, when you're reading your horoscope, when you're watching whatever who says that they've got spiritual contacts and they can contact the dead and spiritists and so on, you are thumbing your nose in the face of God. You're saying, I'm going to other sources. And as we just said, God revealed himself as a jealous God. Now check this. Punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. That's a long time to be mad, don't you think, till your great-grandkids? To hold against somebody, those who hate me? Well, how do you define hate? Well, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, any other gods. That's what angers God. But verse 6 says, showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do you want to leave a rich inheritance for your children? Love the Lord your God. Serve him only. Even if you don't leave them a penny in inheritance, this is the richness. Showing love to 1,000 generations. How much of your stuff do you think is going to be left 1,000 generations from now? Zero. But if you love the Lord your God and you live right, you will be shining a light on the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. It's the richest inheritance you can give to your posterity. Number 3, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God has many names. Don't misuse any of them. Not even the old, oh my God! Well, why can't I? What, are you a 2-year-old? You need everything spelled out for you? God said, don't do it, don't do it. He's big, you're little, he's great, you're small. You're going to stand before him to answer for all this stuff. Now, it's all right to disagree with the commands of God, as long as you obey them. Lord, I don't understand. Could you explain to me? He'll explain to you. He'll show you which end is up. But we have a world that we have a church today that is tinkering with all the commands of God, twisting them inside out and turning them upside down. God has not changed his mind. Right has not become wrong, and wrong has not become right. As much as we try to force the round pegs in the square holes, or vice versa. Number 4. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You need a Sabbath. I need a Sabbath. Now, churches are in dispute as to what's the right Sabbath. Some churches will only meet on Saturday, which was the Jewish Sabbath. They say that's the proper time to worship the Lord. And so they set apart a time on Saturday. That's when they worship. We meet together on Sunday. Have you noticed that? Well, apparently you have. Why? Because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. It's referred to in Scripture as the Lord's Day. The early church in Scripture met on the Lord's Day. So that's why we meet here on Sunday. Paul said, whenever you meet, great. Just don't make a big deal out of it. If you want to meet on one day and somebody else wants to meet on another one, don't make it a dispute between the two of you. Some people worship on all days are alike. Every day is holy. That's great. But don't make a problem between people over the day. But you need a Sabbath. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. You may think you're Superman or Superwoman, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, going at the job, whatever. It'll catch up to you one way or another, or in a lot of ways. There'll be a price to pay for that. You may make an extra bit of money in your paycheck, but it will take a chunk of life out of your existence. Remember a Sabbath day. Keep it holy. It's not just about doing something other, something relaxing. Hopefully you do that. But it's a day for connecting with God and keeping him special and first. When I was a kid, there was a thing called the Blue Laws. Anybody remember Blue Laws? With the Blue Laws, stores would be closed. Most gas stations were shut down. There was nothing to do but go to church or take a drive in the afternoon. Now, I remember Mom and Dad talking on a Saturday, one would say to the other, you better get gas in the car, it's low on fuel, and you know tomorrow you're not going to be able to get any. Oh, yeah, we better run out. Oh, and while you're out getting gas, get another loaf of bread. We need some more stuff, whatever, for dinner. You planned for your Sunday because you weren't going to be able to get what you thought you needed then. Prescriptions, anything else. The world was pretty much, or the United States was pretty much shut down during that time. You ever heard the expression, a Sunday driver? Well, I got behind a Sunday driver. They got no particular place to go. Well, that was a Sunday driver. In the afternoon, you say, you only got three channels on your television, and, you know, there's usually nothing on anyway, just like our 200 channels with nothing on. And so you say, well, what are we going to do? Well, you can't go anywhere. Everything's closed. Let's go for a drive. And everybody would get in the car and leisurely take her through the country. Oh, look at the birds, and isn't that beautiful? And, oh, let's go visit some friends or relatives. And you'd show up on somebody's porch. Hey, this is a surprise. Come on in. This is one. Didn't have a cell phone to give them the heads up you were coming. You just in the neighborhood and thought you'd stop by. And it was a quieter time of life, a glorious time of life. But today, you pack church in. You fit it into your schedule. And we put everything else on Sunday. I remember living in Dover when we came across 7 o'clock in the morning. The soccer fields were full of kids. Funny how you couldn't get up early enough to get to church at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, but you could get to the soccer field, because if a kid this big wasn't out on the soccer field, they'd get behind all the other kids playing soccer. Life as we know it would come to an end. And football on Sunday, and, you know, I've been waiting all day for Sunday night, you know. And on it goes. We busy ourselves, we muck ourselves up with all this other stuff, and we don't Sabbath well. Well, if everybody else would calm down, I could. Well, you need to. And our society has misinformed us and one another. I've heard restaurant owners say, it's the seventh day we make our profit on. We break even and open 6 days a week. It's on the seventh day. We've got to stay open on Sunday in order to make our profit, or it's no use even having a business. Restaurants do often take a day off. What day do they take off? Monday. Your restaurant's closed on Monday? But Sunday, oh, that's the money day. We've got to make money on Sunday. Everybody's out to eat, so we're going to. But there's one restaurant that closes on Sunday. Chick-fil-A. They've taken a lot of heat for it. Now, I live in Hanover, and they opened up a Chick-fil-A, and Barb and I are amazed. Every time we go past that place, doesn't matter what time of day it is, they've got 4 drive-through lanes going at the same time. You can have the app or call and order ahead. You pull into the parking lot, and they will come bring your food out to you. You didn't even have to go through the line, and they also have a dining room inside. And they've got cars out through the rest of the shopping area. It's hard to get through there when you're just trying to drive because they're so busy. I've tasted their chicken. It's okay. It's all right. I wouldn't wait in line to get it. But boy, people will wait there for an hour to get some Chick-fil-A. What is that? I believe waffle fries. I do like that one dipping sauce they have that's kind of honey mustard and, you know. I believe it's the blessing of God. I believe the ownership said, you know, we're going to put God first, and our people can go to church. Whether they want to go to church or not, they have the availability to do so. And we're going to Sabbath our business. We're going to pull our business off to the side of the road for one day a week. And we'll just trust the Lord. And my, how the business has just expanded exponentially because somebody dared to obey a command. It was a command, but it ended in such blessings. Now, the blue laws eventually became rather odious, filled with rules, harsh punishments, and nonsensical exceptions. It became legalistic in a lot of people's lives. And it, you know, they were busted. But what that did then is left for each one of us who have any intelligence to sit down and think. Do I Sabbath? If I was to Sabbath, what would that look like? Maybe my family should Sabbath. How should we change things in our house? You can't change the neighbor's house. You can't change the nation, but you've got a lot of say over your family. What would calm us down, quiet us a little bit? What would be honoring to God? Number five, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The more I thought about this particular command, you know, today we would say, parents, you know, be good to your kids and raise them right, and which is true, and the Bible speaks a lot to that. But this command wasn't given to the parents. This was given to the kids. Honor your parents, and God will bless you. I kind of think this was given more to adult children than kid children. Honor your father and your mother that it might go well with you in the land that the Lord is giving you. Now, your parents may not have treated you very well. Mine did. I have a great set of parents. But yours might not. At some point, you become an adult. At some point, you begin to think through things and process how you were raised, the things that were said to you. You know, sometimes you say, well, that's the way I was raised. Okay, but now you're an adult. And now you've probably married another adult, and they were raised a different way than you were raised. And so now you have to negotiate between the two of you how you're going to conduct yourselves as a family. And now you're to honor your father and your mother. My father, they're not honored. You are to honor yours. Hopefully they took care of you. Hopefully they bled. Hopefully they did their job. But that doesn't negate that you have a responsibility now. And God said, you take care of them. You honor them. And if you do, I'll honor you. You'll live a long life and you'll be blessed where you're at. Parents can and do mess up, but each of us must come of age and turn around to bless our parents. We bless our spouse's parents. There are some who are very good at blessing their parent and wanting their mate to also bless their parent or parents, but are horrified at blessing the other mate's parents. No, you have a responsibility here. It's only right to love, honor, and cherish both sets of... But they're not very... We just went over that. If you honor them, God will honor you. In fact, probably the less honorable they are, the more God will credit to your account the honor that you give them and the care. You know, you can teach your parents a lot of things. My parents came from a cooler generation, I guess you'd say. Not cool in the sense of, but cooler in the sense of, you know, stoic. And I really felt like we taught my dad how to hug. He had an abusive dad, you know, and so on, and sometimes parental touch was not kind. I feel like we taught my mother-in-law, very loving person, but wasn't physical, you know, a huggy kind of a gal. But by the time we were done with them, they were huggy people. You know, hey, you know, and we said we love them. You know, they didn't say that out loud as adults, but we started it, and then they jumped on board, and they were good with it. And there's always something that, and we live in such an intergenerational society now. Parents and kids are all in this thing together. I don't know if you heard on the radio Word FM this week, Kevin and Amy in the morning were talking to one another, and they played this clip of a fella who was talking about his daughter. He said, my daughter comes to me and says, I need gas in the car. So he pulled out two $20 bills and handed them to her and said, here, go get fuel in your car. She said, well, what am I going to do with this? He said, well, you're going to get gas in your car. Well, how do I use cash? She said, is there some slot in the pump where you put the cash? That he said, no. She said, well, how do you? He said, just take the money. You'll figure it out. And he said, this girl's got five 5 full ride scholarships offered to her from 5 different universities, and she's never put gas with cash in the pump before. And then Kevin and Amy, after they played the clip, Amy said, you know, that's going to come back and haunt this guy. He's going to say, how do I transfer an MP3 file or, you know, whatever? And she's going to say, go figure it out. You know, you're going to do it. So more than ever before. Have you noticed how naturally, like, two-year-olds take to cell phones? They take pictures. They'll do video. They do all kinds of things. They can look up stuff on eBay that they want for Christmas. They can't talk with words yet, but they can use these devices. Us older folk, we need help. Be kind to your children. And speaking of children, we come to command number 6, you shall not murder. They can frustrate you sometimes and all of that, but you want to keep them alive because someday they may produce grandchildren. And that's the greatest blessing of all. So you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. No exceptions, no excuses. You get one spouse. There's no such thing as a perfect spouse. Every one of our spouses' spice, every one of our partners is flawed. You get what you get. They do some things better than most, and some other things they're clueless about. But that's your spouse. And there is no excuse acceptable to run into the arms of another. But they don't hug me. They don't. You shall not commit adultery. Love them. Stick with that one. Endure what you need to endure. Enjoy what you can. I don't recall where I got this quote from. It's not original with me, but it sure hit home. What if marriage isn't about making you happy, but making you holy? That makes sense of a lot of things right there. But they frustrate the gourd out of me. Good. That will drive you to your knees. That will drive you back to God. Well, none of this showed up when we were dating. Surprise! What if marriage isn't about making you happy? And if you think your marriage is going to make you happy, you are going to be frustrated for the rest of your life. One of the greatest problems in marriage is people are looking to their spouse to do what only God can do in them. Your spouse cannot make you content. Your spouse cannot meet all of your needs. Your spouse can't make you happy. You got to look to God. He is your primary source of life. And then we've got this disgusting thing going on in America today. Media is trying to teach us that when you get married, you should be faithful to that person because now you've made a commitment. Unless, of course, you've decided to have an open marriage or decided to bring another partner in to the equation. Those are lies from the pit of hell. That is sin upon sin. Marriage is a covenant between a husband and a wife. The marriage bed is kept pure as long as that is kept between husband and wife. But the world would teach us, okay, if you're married, you better stay faithful to each other. But if you're not married yet, all bets are off. Whoever, whenever, however, another lie from the pit of hell. I kind of think you can commit adultery even before you're married. For you were created to be together with a spouse. You're not with that spouse. You are cheating. You're cheating yourself more than anybody else, even though you think that you're fulfilling some kind of a need or a desire. The Bible talks about piercing ourselves through with many sorrows. And when you're not married and there's no prospect for being married, it seems so long off and everything else, what does it hurt? What does it matter? You will find out how it hurts. You will find out why it matters, but the damage will already have been done. And that's how you'll find out. Follow the guideline of the one that loves you, the one that cares about you, and it will turn out for the best. You shall not steal. Doesn't belong to you, don't take it. Be careful when you're managing somebody else's stuff. When you're driving a company car, when you're using their expense account, when whatever it might be, you shall not steal. If you do, you will answer to God. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. That's more than just lying. That's giving false testimony again. Move the boundary stone. You go to court. You say what is best for you, but it's not the truth. You gossip about somebody. You carry it forward. There are things you don't know firsthand, but you go ahead and push it down the road. You add a little bit to it. I saw them do this, and I imagine that's what they're thinking. This must be what they're about. Don't do it. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. And then number 10, it actually has quite a list there of things you're not supposed to covet. We talked about donkeys and ox. Your neighbor's manservant or maidservant. How many of your neighbors have manservants and maidservants? That'd be cool. Not their spouse, not anything that your neighbor... Don't envy that person. Envy, coveting. We can either be thankful and worship or we can covet. When we're coveting, we don't have enough. And ours isn't good enough. And we want what they have. And also, it changes our relationship with other people. I referenced the story we told in youth group some weeks ago the other day with what we were talking about here on Sunday morning. But I think it has another reference as well. It's about a little fella who had the latest superhero toy was out, and he wanted that really bad. His best friend wanted that same toy really bad. And one day the little fella ran out to play with his friend, and here his friend had that action figure, and he didn't have it yet. He stomped off angry. He went back home and he nagged and he complained and he whined and he cried until his mother got in the car, went to the store, got that toy and brought it home, and oh, he was happy. And what we'd say is spoiled. We reinforce being spoiled rather than being thankful. But that little clip in there of being angry at his best friend because his best friend had what he didn't have yet. Isn't that sad? What would be the right response? Oh, Chucky, you lucky dog, you. You got that. Oh, man, I'm happy for you. But immaturity isn't happy for anybody else. It whines and it cries until it has, and then the joy is so short-lived. Oh, you got that too? Ah! We drop this and we... Long after that, you shall not covet. Stop it. Their spouse, if I was married to that one, I'd be a happy, because look at, you know, they're so nice. Don't covet the car, the house. You have no idea what they're going through or who they're really like. What did we say the other Sunday? Thank God for what you already have. Politely ask Him for a little bit more. Wait patiently till it comes. That's how to approach God. Get your envious eyes off other people's stuff. Be happy for them and thankful for what you have. I love God. That's the first four commands. Here's how to love God. And others. Here's how to love others. Sometimes when we try to show love to somebody else, we're not speaking their language. We hardly know what they hardly know what to do with the gift we got them. We got them what we like rather than what they like. But God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. Here's how you do it. No other gods, no making idols. Don't misuse my name. Keep the Sabbath day holy. And here's how we love others. We honor our parents. We don't kill them. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And don't covet. And that'll put us in a mind and a spirit where we can bless others. Would you stand with me today? When you obey the word of God, the will of God, you open yourself up to the promises of God. All of your promises won't let go of me.
All your promises won't let go of me.
All your promises won't let go of me.